Welcome to the Church Investment Update. Church Investment exists to equip church members with opportunities and resources from a biblical worldview to better invest in the local church. Healthy church members produce healthy churches, and healthy church members invest in the local church. And you can learn more at our website, fbcjonesboro.net. I'm Trey Etheridge.
And I'm Brian McAllister.
And thank you for joining us for this update. Well, good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Glad to be with you again at this time. And so we've got several things to cover this morning. So let's just jump right into it with the sermon from this past Lord's Day.
Yep.
Wonderful day, wonderful time of worship. You are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. By the way, just for the sake of explanation, you are walking through the book of 1 Corinthians. Expositional preaching is one of our core values here. And so this is one of the things that we do and make of primary importance here at First Baptist.
Yeah, that's expositional preaching. Actually had a chance to talk with a few visitors, and we were talking a little bit about that last night. Systematic preaching, where you systematically walk through verse by verse and walk through chapter by chapter of a book. And, you know, even they said, you know, how they enjoyed the context.
Right.
You know, that they go somewhere and they may hear a sermon over here one day, and then the next Sunday they're over here and it, you know, there's no connection. And so it does help with the learning process.
Nothing like understanding why a book was written to begin with.
Yes.
It's one of the things that I think we forget a lot of times in the church. It's just this book, there's a thread that runs all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, and there was a purpose in the writing of each book.
So. Yep.
All right, well, we talked about spiritual people, the spirituals.
Yes.
You didn't title that. You titled it actually Lessons in Spiritual Testing, but that kind of ran across my mind. You could have just called this The Spirituals.
The Spiritual People.
It's one of those M. Night Shyamalan movies. That'd have been a good one. Anyway, but, you know, Paul starts out about concerning the spirituals. Why is he transitioning here? We just got through talking about the Lord's Supper. What's happening here?
Well, in all honesty, I'm not really sure it's a huge transition, because he is dealing with one more subject that is going to be connected to the worship service. The Lord's Supper is connected to the worship service. Before that, he dealt with the issue of women prophesying, you know, preaching, that type of thing. So it still deals with kind of the actual meeting and gathering of the people, because in this particular portion of the scriptures, he will kind of deal with how there were those who thought they were more spiritual because of the spiritual gifts that they were using within the services, such as prophesying and speaking in tongues.
And he provides a warning for that.
He provides a warning for that. And his warning is just one of a father just saying, be careful. It's almost like, you know, my dad, if I'm going to go out, he gives me the keys to the car, and, you know, I'm going out for the night, and he would say, you know, son, just be careful. You know, right. Paul is issuing this, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be caught off guard and not notice a pothole here, you know, a place that you may stumble. So,
just reinforcing the fact that as believers, we are to always be learning in the Word, always to be growing and to studying, to understand what it is that these things are. I love how he talks about, this is just a little side note for me, in verse 2, he says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a recurring theme throughout the Old and the New Testament of these idols. And it always takes me back to Psalm 115, and where he says, our God is in heaven. He does all that he pleases. And then he goes on to talk about how the one difference of the one true God and these idols is that our God speaks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take that all the way back to Moses, all the way back to the garden. But it's the one difference about Yahweh is that our God has spoken. And yet when we worship these idols, when we take on the practices of the world, pagan practices, not only are we dumbing ourselves down, but we're worshiping a dumb and mute God.
Yeah. That's not real. And if you even notice in the wording there that he used, he says they were led astray, which is prison terminology.
Yeah, talk about that. You brought that out in your sermon.
It's a prison terminology. The picture that Paul is painting here is that not only were they worshiping dumb idols, they are doing so not really just even of their own free will, but of the fact that they are chained to unbelief. It really goes back to in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are dead in your sins and trespasses. Mm-hmm. It really goes to the issue of you're walking according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit, because you're not spiritual. You're still in chains, but you know, in those days they were in chains because they were not saved. So not only are you worshiping a God that is not real, that is mute, you're doing it because of your unbelief, and it's not spiritual.
Yeah,
it was never spiritual because there is no spirit, there's no life in them.
And so they think they're being spiritual. Mm-hmm. They're actually not spiritual because of the one fact is that God's will has been revealed to them. He has spoken it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing that we don't, and this goes such against the culture, and I would argue probably a lot of the church culture today, of spirituality equating or coming from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's immediately saying, you don't have to guess. You don't have to have an experience to know what God has said.
Yes.
He has spoken.
We live in a world, and I wrote this down, and I thought, you know, as we're kind of just thinking through this, we live in a world today where experience trumps word. Matter of fact, experience trumps another person's experience.
Trumps truth, yeah. Yes. Well, not to mention another person's experience.
Yeah, so if your experience is different than mine, then if it's more emotional, if there's more difficulty, then your truth is greater than mine because your experience was better than mine.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is we elevate one another based upon experience. And so a person becomes spiritually superior to another person because of what they went through. And that is divisive.
Mm.
At the end of the day, that type of behavior, that type of worldview is divisive. There can never be unity within a church who bases spirituality on experience.
Yeah.
But that goes against everything that Jesus died for. That's works. Because our righteousness and our spirituality, it does not come by works or come by experience. It comes by Christ and his work and his righteousness, not ours.
Amen. And regardless of that person's, how can I word this, what the person is experiencing, if it's biblical or not.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to be biblical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which moves to that to those two lessons that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
That the true spirituality is determined by how Christ is portrayed. We don't think about this enough, brother. We don't think about how we are portraying Christ. Number one in the world, but in particular, let's keep it here in the context of 1 Corinthians, though, within the worship service,
mm-hmm.
within the corporate worship gathering. We don't think about how we're portraying Christ or how we are trying to glorify Christ or if we even are.
And I think this kind of goes within a me-centered, this kind of is a byproduct of the me-centered worship movement.
Yeah.
We actually talked about this a little bit last week, I think, mm-hmm. with the Lord's yeah. Supper, that when we come to the worship service, that there is a structure, there is a purpose for us being here. The Lord has spoken in how we have worshiped, things that we can do and things that we cannot do. We can't just go by our own will. But a lot of times that me-centered worship, well, what happens is it's going to lead to making much of me and which results in making less of Christ, which John himself writes, I must decrease that he must increase.
Yeah.
And so if we are decreasing Christ in any way, then it is not spiritual, cannot be spiritual.
And one of the major ways we see what you brought out in the first lesson, sound speech,
mm-hmm.
no matter one's sincerity, it must be biblical or Christ is dishonored.
Well, and let me add one thing as we go yeah. into that. I wrote this down and on the issue, just in case anybody out there is listening and wondering why this is true. They say, well, you say that, but how do we know that's true? Well, John wrote this, and I meant to say this, John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth,
mm-hmm.
who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me.
About me, about Christ.
About Christ.
Yes.
So Christ will increase, I will decrease. So the reason why sound speech and everything else, why it must increase Christ, it must honor Christ, and it is the discerning test of what is spiritual, not spiritual, is because you can't be spiritual without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the job of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Jesus. to testify on Jesus, to make much of, to that he may increase. And so I think as we move into the sound speech and in these two lessons here, I think we need to just, I want to make that, kind of set that groundwork, that context. This is not what we're doing. And that's what the sad thing. We won't think we're doing this. I'm making much. No, the Spirit that lives in me is making much of Jesus through me. And so I think we have to set that groundwork. So therefore that means, so this first one that we bring out here, this sound speech, that our words matter. Mm-hmm. Our words matter. And if the Holy Spirit is in us and he's working in us, then our words are going to honor Christ. Maybe not all the time, because we still have flesh. We still deal with the sinful flesh, but we are seeking to honor Christ.
Yeah, so now Paul says to be careful of what he's warning against. He says, no one who has the Spirit of God, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well, So isn't it just that simple that I can just, as long as I don't say Jesus is accursed, I'm good?
Yeah, well, you would think so. I mean, you would certainly think so. But at the end of the day, they were saying Jesus is cursed, and they thought they were spiritual. They thought it was actually good. So there is a spirit of deception there. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, he tells us, he gives the same type of test, actually. You know, and he actually says that those who are not speaking soundly actually have the spirit of the Antichrist. And we all know that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So there's a deception there.
Yeah.
So, and reverse that. We know that Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount that there will be those who come and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? So they actually confess him as Lord, which is the second part of that, and they don't even get to enter into heaven.
Yeah.
So this goes deeper other than just general, you know, what we say in confession.
It's not just those three words, mm-hmm. Jesus is accursed. We have to be sure that what we are saying is biblical,
mm-hmm.
no matter how sincere we are. No matter how true I feel I am to what the quote unquote Spirit is saying to me, if it's not biblical, Christ is dishonored. So what are some examples we can get into with that?
And as we get into examples, it's substance.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things I didn't bring out Sunday, but that word speaking there in the Greek refers to the sound rather than the substance of words, the sound of speaking rather than the substance of your speech. It may refer to the chirping of locusts or the babbling of babies or whatever. And so Paul is saying it sounded good, but the substance was wrong.
Mm.
So go with some of these examples. You know, I wrote a couple down. We hear that of, you know, Christ helps those who help themselves, which goes against the very first beatitude, the very first poor in spirit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which says, I can't help myself.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Christ helps those who help themselves. It sounds good. It sounds very, you know, like a lesson of work, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. But we know that at the end of the day, that Christ actually helps those who recognize they can't do anything. That they can't do anything for themselves.
Amen.
They're poor in spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one, and this was several years ago. I was... Well, and I think this is good because you and I have talked about, and you even talked about last night in Bible study, that, you know, we can spend all day long on the health, wealth, and prosperity guys, and we'll probably do that at some point and mention different ones, but really we kind of need to deal with our own tribe, that we need to be careful as pastors of the words that are coming out of our mouth and not just assume. And I love what Sinclair Ferguson says on this, that just because we are saved, that doesn't mean my conscience is sanctified.
Doesn't mean I'm always right.
It doesn't mean I'm always right. I'll never forget being in a revival meeting, and Jessica and I were there, and we were just listening, and the guy was speaking, and you could tell he was a young pastor, and to be honest, he probably should not have been up there, and I just want to say that gently, but probably should not. But he worked himself into basically a logical black hole. And so he starts talking about how, you know, if Christ would have just died for six people, it would have been worth it. Five people. And I'm sitting here going, oh no. And Jessica's going, hush. Cause you know, and he ended up and he goes, if Christ would have died, and even if no one would have been saved, it would have been worth it. Well, brother, that's just heresy.
Yes.
Christ died. Acts 20 tells us clearly. that the church has been bought with his own blood, that this was from before the foundation of the world. This, you know, God has a people called the church.
That just goes against even the attributes of God.
Exactly.
He is not.
And yet the guy was sincere. I'm not speaking ill of him.
Well, and that's one of the things that we kind of brought up Sunday was you can be sincerely wrong.
Exactly.
You know, that's one of those errors, I think, to avoid that Paul is saying, do not be unaware. And I think it becomes arrogant of us to believe that our sincerity means we are never wrong.
Yeah.
There's only one person who is ever right, always right, 100% of the time. And that was Christ.
Yeah.
And that is God himself.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to be very careful that
we've got to be constantly evaluating what we preach.
You know, there was there was one at Louisiana College. He was there when I was there. He had one time been to New Orleans Seminary. I think he's passed on now. Wonderful guy. But there were those who believed in, he was a wonderful person, but he didn't believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. And so, you know, we have to be careful of those things. And he was able to put it in a way that sounded good.
Right.
But these are things that we have to be careful of.
Yeah. Well, the second lesson there, talking about true confession, lordship, submission to Christ, and to Christ alone. So this gets into the context of being spiritual and what it means to be spiritual and how often we kind of, Paul's kind of telling you think you're spiritual, but you're not. Mm-hmm. So how do we see this in the church today?
Well, when Paul gives this, if you notice what he says, so no one, he says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord. So there's the confession. That is the bedrock confession of a Christian. So he's kind of doing a couple things here. One, a person who makes that confession is spiritual. So Paul's bringing some balance here. There are those who are saying they are more spiritually superior to others. But Paul's saying that all people who make this bedrock confession, but as we said earlier, it's not that issue of just words. There's got to be substance there. There's got to be something.
Right.
And so I think, you know, so within the church, I mean, this is what we do with our membership process, that when people come and they say, I want to join the church, I'm a believer, we take seriously the fact of what Jesus himself said, that there are those who say, Lord, Lord, but he will say to them, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And so we want to truly examine the genuineness of a person's confession. And I think this is exactly what Paul is saying, because no one can say this and be genuine without the Spirit in them. You can say this and not be spiritual, but a true confession is a confession that comes from the Spirit, and it's not just words, but it is a life of submission to Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah.
And so you see that in a person's life.
So someone who is not actively growing as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
can they be spiritual?
No. If you are now again, let's define actively.
There you go. Yeah.
Let's define actively. If it is a person who just does not care about their spiritual life, and there's nothing there, then no.
Yeah. They check the box.
They just check the box and go. If you're talking about a person who struggles with it, again, I think that word struggle, but that's active.
Mm-hmm.
Active doesn't mean success.
Yes, active. Even warring with your sin,
yes.
which is something we should be doing.
Because Paul said in Romans, he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. Mm-hmm. So the spiritual things that I want to do, I don't do. The non-spiritual things, the sinful things that I don't want to do, I do. So Paul was warring with his spirit and his flesh.
Yeah.
So we have to define the active, and I do think it means warring, you're trying. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't go through seasons where you read the Bible less and seasons where you read the Bible more. But that's active. You're trying. It doesn't always mean success. But a person who's not warring, a person who just doesn't care, that they actually are warring more on gaining wealth. They're warring more on gaining popularity on Facebook. They're warring more with keeping their hobbies.
Yeah.
That's not spirituality.
Living their life according to their own lordship.
Yes.
Their own self-guidance.
Yes, their own lordship. They are the Lord of their life. Yeah. And you see that in their life, that they make themselves the priority rather than knowing God.
Yeah. So that's good. Let's pause that right there, because we can spend on that, spend all day on that. And I think we're going to, as you make your way through 1 Corinthians 12, especially in talking about what spiritual people look like, and the things that they do, things that they don't do, the gifts, and we're going to get into gifts. You're going to get into gifts this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. So let's move just a little bit. This kind of going out to our First Baptist faith family here. Just want to remind you about a couple of things. Well, first, let me back up. Anything else on that? So we draw it to
no, I'm just on the true confession.
Yeah.
No. Just I think you're going to see this throughout the deal, because, and this is one of the things that we kind of brought out at the beginning, that this is really spiritual people, spirituality rather than just gifts, because it's not just about gifts. It is about the unity of the church. It is about love. You got that whole chapter 13 in love. And so I think this is wonderful for our church. And speaking to our church, I would say this is probably going to help many of them, because last night I asked the question, how many of you have ever just felt like you're not spiritual enough? And the heads started shaking and the hands came up.
Right.
And so I think this is going to be such a freedom for people to learn what it means, and to really kind of see that it's not about a worldly standard that makes me spiritual. It is about what God has deemed as spiritual.
Amen.
And that comes from their salvation. It comes through their walk with Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go through a few announcements for our faith family here. Just a reminder, this fall we're going to transition for the adult classes to the Baptist Expositor. And I'm excited about that. We're going to be getting your curriculum pretty soon. But if you want to, in the meantime, check out their website, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. BaptistPublishingHouse.com. Again, this is going to challenge us. This is going to reinforce to us how to properly study the Bible, interpret the Bible for oneself. Each lesson is focused on observing, interpreting, and applying the text. So we're going to directly be learning how to study the Bible, which is part of our core value of biblical fidelity.
Determined discipleship.
And determined discipleship. Exactly. So I'm excited about that. Anything else?
Well, I was just going to say, it's one of the things that I do see within our church. I am seeing within our church, and this is very encouraging for pastors, a love for the word. And you know, you think about the ladies that had the core seminar where they were studying the book, books of the Bible, or they were learning how to study the books of the Bible. And there was just a desire for that. We you and I both hear it. We hear it from people coming into the church and people who are already here, established. So I think this new Sunday school curriculum will now begin to put to test daily determination.
Yeah.
You know, this will help them begin to basically again do what we do when we preach, which is study the text and really dive into it.
Which will help in their evaluations and examinations of the sermons more.
Yes, they may examine my sound speech.
There you go. That's exactly right. Wanted to bring to your attention the Associational Leadership Training Conference this coming Monday. That has been canceled. Brother Craig had a few conflicts with that, and some of the leaders had to drop out. And so just wanted to call that to your attention. But he is planning on that recurring every August, and he may even, I say canceled. He said postponed, so
yes,
we
postponed.
May revisit that in the coming months. September the 11th is Crafty Cafe, and that's going to be here at the Family Life Center, another associational event. Mm-hmm. Always excited about Crafty Cafe. And then we got State of the Church Address coming on September
the
12th.
Address. Just praying through it. A lot of good, I think there's going to be a lot of good praise reports that are going to come out of that, a lot of things that we can be thankful for. I think the vision of the church is the same, and we'll focus in on just kind of where we're going this year. Even though we've had a difficult year with COVID and things, God has blessed us, and even though it seems that we're not out of the woods yet,
right,
God is still good, and I think this will be a wonderful time for us to remember that.
Right. Amen. And then next week after that, September the 18th, FBC Loves Jonesboro Day. I'm getting excited about this. I want to just continue to encourage you, faith family, to begin talking about, asking around our community of tasks and duties that we can do within our community, within community homes, those within that are in need, whatever, how we can seek to meet a need, mm-hmm. big or small. Please begin to jot those down and make those lists in your Sunday school classes. And then in the coming weeks, we'll begin to divide up in teams, things of that nature, looking forward to that day. And then beyond that, revival coming October 24th through 27th with Brother Ed Lacey.
And I would ask the church to be praying about that, not only just in looking toward the revival, not only praying about people hearing the gospel, but, you know, I mean, once again, kind of like you and I have talked about, because of COVID, we never know what – it's hard to plan.
That's right.
And it's so hard to plan because you just never know what's going to happen. We want to do this, and so I'm praying that things will settle down for that time. I think our church needs a week of revival, just a week to hear, to sit under the preaching of the word, and there's no one better than Ed Lacey.
Amen. Amen. Well, I've got one more thing, brother, and then I know you want to finish out with a final word. But I just want to encourage everyone to be in prayer for three families, actually four families. There was a tragedy that occurred just a couple of days ago with a horrific car accident, and three Jonesboro Hodge students' lives were lost in that. And one is in still in the hospital recovering, has a long recovery process. And so, that's, we call this podcast, we call this church investment. But part of that is investing in our community, and so we just want to send our thoughts and prayers to those families.
We invest in the church that we may be a gospel witness and reach our Jerusalem.
Yes,
and these families are our part of our Jerusalem. Amen. They are in our community. And on that, I did talk to the principal, Jonesboro Hodge. She was very thankful for love and the prayers. And I did see yesterday in the office that some prayergrams have gone out to these families.
Yeah, Prayer Warrior Ministry, Prayer Warriors, mm-hmm. please send out those prayergrams.
Well, and thank you to those who have. So we're sending prayergrams out to that. And there may be some opportunities that we can just love on these families.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, speak to us last thing.
The one last thing that I have is I wanted to just encourage our church in the days to come. We know that everybody knows COVID is surging once again. And, you know, it's amazing to me that once you think you've got it, once you think you got it figured out, you really begin to realize you don't have it figured out. And it's amazing. Paul's saying, I don't want you to be unaware, you know. And that's kind of the deal. I think sometimes we don't know everything. And so it's hard to make plans, and it's hard to try to look to the future when you're not sure on some things. But I want to say this to our people. You and I want them to know that Trey and I are always looking. I think even this summer when things were kind of better in the spring, I mean, I was better. I was hopeful. I was encouraged. I do think that you and I were still, we had our eyes just waiting to see.
Sure.
And so we've never not been cautious and looking and ready at a moment's notice to make some changes to the schedules and different things like that. So please be encouraged that we are, and we have always been on that. With that said, I do want to remind our church, just in case you are concerned, that we do have our COVID policies in place still. They never went out. We encourage you, you know, to come to church, but know that if there's ever an exposure, where a person comes to church and they test within 48 hours, that they are positive, from being in a church gathering, then that we would close down the following, Sunday. We have that policy in place. One thing that we do have though is that we do know a little bit more, and we do have some options, you know. So certainly there are the vaccinations. You can still wear a mask, and you can still take personal responsibility on social distancing if you need to. We certainly can help with that. If you are uncomfortable, as much as it would pain me to say this, to not meet with somebody, but if we had someone who just feels like they just need to take a week or two away, and maybe we'll let the surge kind of go back down, because this is what seems to happen. We understand that. We have our online service, and so you can do that. But my thing would be, remember, though, that we want you to come back.
Yeah, we are called to the corporate gathering.
We are called to the corporate gathering.
End of the day.
But we are not legalistic.
Right.
And so we are not to forsake the corporate gathering, but we are not legalistic. And so therefore, if someone says, hey, and I think this is important. If someone says, I really feel like I need to stay home for a few weeks because I'm concerned. I really, really am concerned. I would like for them to tell us. I would like to pray with them.
Yes.
I would like for them to communicate that to the church rather than just disappear for a month and we trying to figure out what's going on. We are in this together. We have always been in this together. And the only way that I think that we can do this together is through prayer, communication, bearing with one another, loving one another through this. So if you need to stay home for a week or two to, you know, that's your conviction, then share that with some people within the church, share that with me and you, share that with a deacon. Let us pray with you and we'll try to stay in contact with you through that process. There are other things. I feel like our hospital here, I feel like a lot of the doctors here, we have good doctors in Jonesboro.
Amen.
And a good hospital. I know that when I had COVID, I had the infusion and it worked amazing. So there's some medical things there that I think are good. But brother, lest we ever forget, let us not stop praying.
Amen. Amen.
I have come to the conclusion that at the end of the day, we as the people of God need to act like the people of God. And when the people of God found themselves in the midst of difficult, trying times, they fell on their knees and they cried out to God for mercy. And God would either be merciful and protect them, or God would be merciful and walk with them in the difficult trial.
And provide for them the strength to endure through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And so I call on our church to do that. I call on our church to not look to the new solutions for the difficulties that we're facing, but to go and look to what has always been prescribed to the saints, which is prayer, and calling on God to be merciful to us and to strengthen us and walk through that. So there are options there. And next week, we have some deacons that are out of town. We have several actually that are out of town this Sunday. So the following Sunday will be our deacons meeting, and we will discuss and talk through some things and just reevaluate and see what we need to do. But until then, be encouraged. Our plans, our policies have not changed, and we are in this together, and we are walking through this together.
Amen. So. Amen. Many are the plans of man, but they are ordained by the steps of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
And let me say this. We are planning to gather Sunday.
Amen.
We are going to gather Sunday, and we are going to sing, and we are going to worship the Lord, because at the end of the day, we have been commanded by God. And I would also hope, as we've been talking, the difference between spiritual and non-spiritual is that the spiritual person wants to gather. Mm-hmm. The spiritual person is convicted that the gathering to worship, the gathering to fellowship, the gathering to hear the word is that important, no matter the trials that we go through.
That's a good word. Good word to end on, brother. Well, Faith Family, thank you so much for joining us for this week. We look forward to meeting with you on this coming Lord's Day. Have a great rest of the week. God bless.